Hello and welcome to another edition of another Manchester City podcast. I'm your host Adam Merritt, and on today's episode I'll be having a brief preview of tomorrow night's match between Manchester City and Nottingham Forest at the Etihad, which is another crucial Premier League fixture. I'll also go over a few of the highlights from Pep Guardiola's pre-game press conference earlier today, and I'll have a look at some of the stories that came out of a very good piece in The Athletic from Daniel Taylor, which covered City's mini crisis or winless run, and a few noteworthy parts of that very fine article. First of all, up next for Manchester City is Nottingham Forest at the Etihad tomorrow night. It's a massive Premier League fixture for City, who are desperate to pick up 3 points just to restore some confidence and break this winless run, which is not becoming an elephant in the room, but it's a shock to the system, and the sooner it ends, the better it'll be for everyone at the club, from fans through to the players, through to Pep Guardiola, and everywhere else in between. Looking at Forest, they'll enter tomorrow night's match in six, or at the start of this midweek block of fixtures. They have impressed this season. There's no denying that. You don't trip and fall into six in the Premier League table, and Forest have impressed. As Pep Guardiola said earlier today, there's a lot of power in their lineup, but there is some technical ability and there is pace out wide on the wings, which we've seen over this winless run is a weakness of City defending it, and Forest look built to exploit it. With Anthony Elanga and Callum Hudson-Odoi and the Jota as well, there is pace and ability out wide for Nottingham Forest. I'm expecting them to try and exploit City's high line, which everyone has been of late. It's been especially prevalent in this winless run. But there is also the ability of Chris Wood to hold up the ball to allow those wingers to feed off him. That's another interesting part of the game, especially given City's defensive frailties of late. So it'll be interesting to see how the world champions deal with that tomorrow night at the Etihad. Even in midfield, the Forest have quality. James Ward-Prowse and Morgan Gibbs-White are two players that immediately spring to mind, especially the threat of James Ward-Prowse from set pieces with his delivery. There's probably not a better player in the Premier League at it than him. If there is, the list would be very small. And Morgan Gibbs-White is a very good player. He's, of course, Rodri's best mate after Rodri's red card with an incident with him last season, but that's not a problem to worry about tomorrow. You look at Forest in defence, Murillo stands out. The Brazilian centre-back, I think, is a brilliant player, and it wouldn't surprise me if he does secure a move to a top four, top six club in the near future. He's a very good defender, does the dirty work and defends well. I really rate him as a player. You look at Nico Williams, Alex Moreno, Ola Aina, who gave Kyle Walker a torrid time last season at the City Ground with his pace. There is pace and quality at the fullback position in Nottingham Forest squad. All told, there's quality throughout their lineup, and they don't sit sixth by accident, as I mentioned earlier. So I'm expecting them to defend with a low block and look to hit City on the break. But as I've mentioned, there is quality in their lineup, so there's a threat posed to City, even if City were at their best, by Nottingham Forest. So I think they're going to provide a tough test tomorrow for City, especially given City's frailties to teams, to quick counter-attacks and pace. From a City point of view, it'll be interesting to see how they line up tomorrow at the Etihad. As I mentioned on one of yesterday's episodes, the Stefan Ortega Edison question was raised to Pep Guardiola earlier today. He answered that Edison is still his number one keeper and Ortega the two, and he did say a decision on who will start tomorrow will be made and become clear once the lineup is announced, obviously. For me, I can't see any merit in dropping Edison for one game to replace him with Ortega at Anfield to then bring him back against Forest. Stranger things have happened, of course, and it is Pep Guardiola we're talking about with his selections, but I would expect Ortega to start in goal. He did keep well, made several good saves against Liverpool. And, yeah, as I mentioned, I just can't see the change being made that quickly. Now, how City line up in defence, that's another interesting topic to look at. I think Nathan Ake and Ruben Dias will line up at centre back. I'm expecting Josko Gvardiol to return at left back for tomorrow's match. And the right back's the position where, as I mentioned in the transfer podcast I did yesterday, is an issue. But transfer wise, it can't be solved. So looking at the options, I wouldn't expect Kyle Walker to start after his performance at Anfield, and especially given the assessment on Walker that came out in the Athletic piece I mentioned earlier, but I'll touch on that more later. Rico Lewis could start at right back, but he looks to be leggy and tired. He's played a lot this season, and perhaps he's due a rest just to freshen his legs up for the Palace game, where he may well be needed to start there. That will leave Manuel Akanji to start at right back, which there's merit to the move. In the Athletics piece, he's considered by Pep Guardiola to be the nearest player to, with Rodri's attributes, playing in the centre of the pitch. I could see him start at right back, as long as he's fit enough, that is, of course. That's the question there. And drifted centrally when City have possession. So, looking at it, I could see Akanji, Dias, Ake and Gvardiol lining up across defence for City tomorrow. Midfields are full of questions, really. Ilkay Gundogan, you would think, would play at six, as a six or in a deep role, but he looks like he needs a rest. He's appearing tired. And can he back up again after playing 60-odd, 70, 80 minutes at Anfield? That's a question. If he doesn't start, would Bernardo Silva start yet again? But he's in the same boat. He looks tired and in desperate need of a rest, but I don't know if he's going to get it. So it just poses a question. Mateus Nunes could line up in a holding role in midfield. He has done it before. He does have the pace to counter Forrest's threat on the break by tracking back. And I didn't think he was bad at Anfield. He was out of position playing on the left and didn't offer a lot going forward, but I thought he tracked back well. And he did put in a shift before he was substituted. So I'd like to see him start in the Rodri role, we'll call it. And that would leave two other spots to be filled. Phil Foden could take one, but I'm unsure if he'll start because he looks like he's in need of a rest. Jack Grealish is the one. I think it's time for Pep Guardiola, and he mentioned it after the Liverpool game that City need his attributes and skill set in midfield. So I think it's time that Pep just throws it out there and tries it. The worst that could happen is it doesn't work and we're in the same situation going forward. But I think there's merit to it, as I wrote about on esteemcompany.com yesterday, I believe it was, to trying Grealish in the midfield role. So perhaps tomorrow night's match, even though Forest are a good team and have impressed this season, of throwing Grealish in the middle. I think it'll either be one of Phil Foden. I can't see De Bruyne starting yet, although Guardiola did give a positive update on his condition, but I'll touch on that more shortly. So across midfield, I could see it being Mateus Nunes, Jack Grealish, and one of Bernardo Silva or possibly Phil Foden. But I'll give the nod to Bernardo given the amount of trust Pep has in him. Then it becomes interesting as who to start on the wings. I expect Erling Haaland to start, and he'll need service, obviously. Well, that's a well-known fact, and it's not a surprise. But who Guardiola starts on the wings will be interesting in my view. I wrote earlier today it might be time for him to unleash Doku on the left and Savinho on the right. We have seen them play together previously this season and they have impressed. I do think we need a bit of a spark up in the final third just to create more chances. And perhaps those two are due to start, and they, based on their skill sets and attributes, they would provide it, provided they're both on. Doku was very impressive against Liverpool, although his end product was lacking. But he does look to be in form. Savinho didn't get as much of the ball as Doku, but he offers the same, but on the opposite side. So I'd like to see them both start, along with Erling Haaland up front, just to provide more of a threat, some pace, and keep the Forest defence pinned back. So that's what I'm expecting, or what I'd choose rather than expect, but we'll see when the teams are announced before kickoff. I'm expecting a tough game at the Etihad. Forest have played well this season And when you look at their squad and the way they play, their strengths do line up to our weaknesses. So that'll be interesting to watch it unfold. We've seen City struggle against quick teams that break quickly, and that's something Forest look to be built for. Plus, with the Chris Wood up front, a player of that type holding the ball up for his runners to feed off him, that will test the City defence. But if City can snap out of their recent funk and resemble themselves, they could and probably should pick up 3 points at the Etihad. They desperately need to. So it'll be interesting to see how the game unfolds, but I'm looking forward to it. Yes, it'll be a tough game, but it'll be one full of storylines one way or the other. The other factor in, Guardiola touched on it in his pre-game press conference, is the City crowd, home crowd. The fans will be up for it to back their team, so there's no question that about that. That always happens. It should be being a big game and a must-win game for City. If the crowd are up, hopefully the players can feed off it. As much as the usual jokes are seen across social media and other platforms aimed at City fans, they are some of the most loyal, passionate fans out there. So if they're up for the occasion, the team should lift with them, and hopefully that's enough to see City pick up 3 points tomorrow. But of course, as I've mentioned countless times already, it will be no easy task against the quality Forest side. The next topic was Daniel Taylor's fine piece that was published in The Athletic and released earlier today. If you have a subscription and can read it, it does cut. There's a lot of good topics in that article. The big one for me was that the Manchester City hierarchy have acknowledged that perhaps they should have started their rebuild last summer, and they may have held on to some players for just one season too many. That's refreshing in my view, because you rarely see clubs acknowledge that sentiment these days. It tends to be, if that opinion is held, it's held behind closed doors and you won't see it reported. So if the City hierarchy are acknowledging that fact, that is something that they're looking to rectify. And given the forward planning that goes into City squad build, bar last summer where I think they missed a trick, as I've covered previously on yesterday's transfer podcast, they will be looking to make those moves in the near future. So, yeah, that's something to watch for as we build towards next summer. But, of course, we've got to see how this season plays out. As I mentioned yesterday, I think they may well start in January with the rebuild. And a piece in Give Me Sport did indicate that Pep Guardiola wants 3 signings. You can take that. Whether or not we take that as gospel just yet, it remains to be seen. But if you can bring in 2 or 3 next month, that should strengthen the squad. I did cover that in my thoughts on that situation in the transfer podcast yesterday, so I won't expand on it too much just yet or any further for today's episode. Seeing Pep Guardiola's press conference, there was several standout quotes from him. The first one was about the condition of John Stones and Kevin De Bruyne. I'll touch on the De Bruyne injury situation first, as Guardiola was asked about if De Bruyne could potentially return to the starting lineup, where Pep said his condition has improved and he is trained better since the Liverpool game. Does give hope that he could start tomorrow, but if he doesn't, it does appear that his return to the starting lineup is becoming imminent. And it also puts the elephant in the room regarding De Bruyne's situation and status to bed. I touched on it in my review of the Liverpool game, where conflicting reports had emerged. There was a Twitter account that reported yesterday De Bruyne was still battling injury and pain. Based on Guardiola's assessment, it seems that De Bruyne's return is coming sooner rather than later to the starting lineup. The other injury update he did give was on the condition of John Stones, and that's another cause for concern. Stones is out of tomorrow night's match with a foot injury, and his return date remains unclear. Guardiola said he'll be ruled out for this week's matches. Whether or not that means he's coming back next week, we'll have to wait and see on that one. But Stones in general is becoming a concern. He missed a massive chunks of last season with injuries. I think he made, it was either 26 or 28 appearances in all competitions. And then this season he looked to be regaining form and playing well, and then his body's just failed him again. I think that's an area where City will have to address it in next summer rather than January, because I can't see him signing a defender in January, as I said yesterday, unless something drastic or catastrophic happened. So, yeah, where Stone's future lies, it is a topic that looks to be coming to a head in the near future. There was another interesting snippet, I suppose you could call it, in Taylor's article, which was floated on Twitter last week by Big Steve, where City's EDS side beat the first team in a 9-on-9 match. I don't give those that much credence, because obviously the first team players had just played Feyenoord, and you don't know the condition of them out of a game against Feyenoord. And I did mention this on Blue Sky when the topic was raised, that the dream team in the 92 Olympics were beaten by college kids in that famous training session. You can look up that story online. So it happens all the time. You don't know what condition the first team players are in, how serious they're taking training after the day or two after a game. Although it makes for an interesting snippet, I don't really give it much weight based on a whole multitude of factors, especially being elite players and how they look after their bodies and whatnot, stuff like that. It is interesting. It's a topic of discussion, but as I said, I just don't give it a lot of weight. There was another snippet out of the Taylor article for The Athletic. I've seen people on Twitter or X taking umbrage with, and that was the fact that Pep Guardiola wasn't keen for the rebuild or big signings until he knew what he was doing with his own future. I can understand that point of view from Guardiola, because if you go spend, for argument's sake, $100 million on a player and he leaves, does the next manager want that player in his own squad? That's the question mark. So now Guardiola's future's secured, the club can sell the idea of being managed by Guardiola to prospective signings, and they can come knowing that he's going to be here for another two seasons. I can understand not making those moves last summer with the uncertainty that surrounded his situation as manager. So while people are, you'll see, and I don't deal with X much anymore, the outrage there, the story and headline does make sense when you look at it properly without wanting to overreact to every piece of info at the moment. I think next summer, as I've touched on, City will hit the market hard, and a few in-the-know accounts that are around on Twitter and around the traps have mentioned this. So the rebuild is coming, although, as City have acknowledged in the Athletic's article, it may be starting a summer too late, but it is coming. And with the funds available and the funds that City have banked in the past couple of transfer windows, it will likely take sizable investment to start the rebuild, and we'll see some players and warriors for the club depart. And it's just the nature of the game. And while it'd be sad to see players leave, their legacies at Manchester City and in the Premier League are secure. So that's just the facts of it and how it all tends to work. Anyway, that's it for today's episode of another Manchester City podcast. I'll next be back to review the Nottingham Forest game. And that'll be, unless something major breaks in between now and then, that'll be my next podcast. Thanks for listening to another edition of another Manchester City podcast. I'm your host, Adam Merritt. You can follow my writing on esteemcompany.com. And thanks for your time.